Thank you. We don't have a lot of Fifth Sundays where they get to do that, but I love that they do that. I love that they get that opportunity to show exactly what they're teaching your children when they go downstairs. It's always Jesus Christ. It's always biblically centered what they are giving them. And that gives you guys kind of a flavor and a taste of what they're doing down there. And they do a great job at what they're doing. I think the kids are pretty happy with what goes on down there. Kids, you happy? Where you at, kids? Come on, what happened to you? They must be eating all them pumpkin seeds. That's what it is. We're grateful to have them, grateful for all the work that they do. We appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. I kind of fought how to begin this sermon series. By the way, I don't have my Bible up here, but I am preaching from the Bible on my tablet. I'm preaching from the New American Standard Version this morning. And my NASB Bible is kind of big, and it doesn't really fit up here with all this stuff, so I got to go right from the tablet this morning. But if you would grab your Bibles, if you have a paper one, or open your tablets or phones, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And as I thought about how to start the sermon this morning, because this is, I don't know why it's so hard to talk about this subject. Other than in America, we get so tied up in money. And so talking about giving, yes, we're going to be talking about giving. I hear the groans. It's okay. It's all in the Bible, you know, this part too. And so as I preach on this, this isn't a sermon because we're hurting on money. This isn't a sermon because I need you all to give more or because you guys haven't given enough. Or I'm not preaching at this to any individual out there. But if this touches your heart, that's the Holy Spirit, not me. I would open just by saying that I don't know who gives what in this congregation. I have absolutely no idea what you guys give. I keep out of it. I don't want any part of it. So this isn't something where I went and looked through the records and said, David, I can pick on David because it's okay. David, I'm going to be looking at you a lot this morning. So I'm not looking at any individual in here. I stare at everybody as I go through the sermon. But it's something we all need to hear. It's a part of our spiritual discipline, giving. And you know, it may be a little different this time than what you think. Because what your giving does is amazing. I want to say that this Pastor's Appreciation Month, I try not to get emotional when doing sermons, but it's hard sometimes when the outpouring of love from you guys is so much on us. I want to say thank you for everybody. For just being a great congregation, first and foremost. If we received no special gift this month, that would have been enough for me and Andrea. We have just been so blessed to be a part of this family here, a part of you guys, a part of what you guys do. But you guys went above and beyond. We have been blessed by so many. The outpouring has been so great that me and Andrea, sometimes we break down and we can't handle it. It's too much love. And I want to show you, though, outside of even that, some of the stuff that you're giving. And that's what this month is going to be kind of about. And as I break into 2 Corinthians, not a lot of us, you know, we go to the verse 7 automatically. You know, give with a cheerful heart. Give something purposely. And then you think, oh, yeah, he's asking for more. But I wanted to go a little bit different way this morning as we're talking about giving. I want to encourage you to keep up your giving because you guys have been so great that these are some of the things that we have been able to do because of your giving. These are some of the pictures of some of the stuff that's happened over the last year. Ladies group doing great things. They're beating stuff up when I came in. I was standing there in the back. I'm way in the back because I'm scared. We had VBS that happened. We have some great volunteers come out for that. Guys, I'm going to tell you, there's so much gets poured into VBS. Without your giving, we wouldn't be able to do what is necessary. We wouldn't be able to bless these kids. And let me tell you, out of VBS, we have borne some great fruits that have now turned into Wednesday afternoons. Our Wednesday afternoon group has now grown over 20. We're getting to a point where we're approaching 30 now. Some of the sports are ending. We got more kids coming. I'm going to tell you, God is pouring out such blessings. And some of that fruit was from this. But we'd never be able to do VBS without your giving. We would never be able to do Wednesday afternoons without your giving. We'd have never been able to do the church fellowship lunches without your giving. We'd never be able to pour out into our communities without your giving. We wouldn't be able to hire on staff some of the wonderful people like Ron and Alice that we have that are doing such a fantastic job, like Joe, who's in the office, who does such a phenomenal job. And we're looking to bring on our new associate minister who's going to do a fantastic job. I know it. We wouldn't be able to do any of these without your giving. We wouldn't be able to do Fall Fest. We had such a great time at Fall Fest. We had great volunteers, but more than that, we had a ton of money come in so that we could do Fall Fest and we could provide all of this at no cost to the community because of your grateful, loving giving. All of these things that we get to do are because you guys give. And you guys give with such cheerful hearts. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, this is what it says here. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart. Not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let's pray for some wisdom as we open up. Father God, as we enter your word and we're in one of those topics that kind of gets a little uneasy in the church and even in our communities, we don't generally openly discuss monies with other folks. Lord, I just pray that your wisdom would be upon us. I pray that as we move through the book here, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, as we move through this chapter, Lord, you would grant us the knowledge and the thoughts and the wisdoms of the Holy Spirit that we may see your truths, that we may put away anything that is not of you, that we may hold on to only what is of you, and that you would be glorified in these things. For you are awesome and you are powerful. You are mighty. We call you King. We call you Friend. We call you Savior. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. So as you have been faithful, I'm encouraging you to be faithful still. Not that we are hurting for money, just that we are giving is one of the spiritual disciplines it talks about inside of here. So I want to encourage you, just like I encourage you to pray. Just like I encourage you to read your Bibles, just like I encourage you to share the holy the word with other people, to share your salvation, to share the word with other people, I'm encouraging you to continue your giving. You know, sometimes it's in the good times that people tend to start to pull back a little bit. Oh, we're doing so good, they may not need me. No, you can't give up now, you got to keep on in there. That's what I said, persevere till the end. So I'm here to encourage you to keep up your faithfulness. And I know it's hard to talk about things like this time of year because everybody wants money from you, right? All right, everybody. All right, here it comes. All right, it's November. All the kids are going to come by knocking on my door, right? Hey, we got this fundraiser. And you know what the problem is? They hand me the brochure, right? Back in the day, they didn't have the brochure. But now they got the brochure, and I'm like, oh. And you open up, and there's all the wonderful cookies and the popcorn and the candy, and you're like, Lord, I pray for this to be taken away from me, not for it to show up at my front door. But it's tough because we asked a lot of this time of year. There's a lot of folks who are in need, especially in the holidays. We start talking about Thanksgiving and we start talking about Christmas. There's a lot that goes on, a lot gets asked of you. I'm just asking you to continue in your faithfulness. Because there's an amazing thing that happens when we team up with God like this, and I think we've seen it this year. I think we've seen a lot of the amazing things that God has done through our congregation, with our congregation this year, and we're getting ready to go back in, and I'm going to ask for you to prayerfully partner with us in the budget group as we get ready to talk about the budget for next year. You know, we set a budget last year, and we were like, ooh. That's what we said. We said, ooh. I said, that's okay, God's faithful. And we get in this year, and I've already been praying. I told all the budget folks, I said, hey, look, what I want you to do before you show up for the first meeting, I want you to pray, and I want you to come with a number. They're like, but we don't have any worksheets or nothing. I said, that's not what I said. I said, I want you to pray, and I want you to come with a number for the annual budget. What is God laying on your heart to do? And I will tell you, budget guys, I got a number already from the Lord, and I don't know if you're all going to like it, but it's going to be good, because I think God's big like that. I think God moves mountains. I think God is faithful to those who are faithful to him as long as we continue in his work and what he would have us to do. Because I've seen your faithfulness as a congregation, and I've seen what God is doing in your hearts. That's why I'm beginning in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 1 and 2 that says this, for it is superfluous for me to write to you about this ministry to the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. Sometimes I like the NASB and the way it writes. It's superfluous. There is no other version that uses that big old word. I thought, man, I had to go look it up in the dictionary. I'm going to be honest with you. They taught me a lot of things in school. Superfluous was not one of the words they taught me. It says, it's almost redundant for me to write this. I have no need to write about this because I've seen your faith. But I'm going to write about it anyway. Why? Because I want it recorded. I want it written down that you guys have been so generous. That you guys have been so prepared in your giving. That you guys, as a matter of fact, I'm going to brag on you guys a little bit. And that's what I'm doing. I'm bragging on you guys a little bit this morning. You guys have been such great and faithful givers. I want it written down. And it is. It's being recorded. I'm saying it. For anybody that's watching out there, if you may attend here, you may not attend here, I'm going to tell you, these are some of the best givers. It is superfluous for me to talk to you about this, but I'm going to do it anyway because I want it recorded down so that you know and the world knows that you are generous and faithful. And I think you need to hear that. You know, God calls us never to boast upon ourselves, but he says, look, you can boast about others. And so as Paul is boasting about the church here, I'm boasting about you guys so that others may know your generosity. The Bible says this in Matthew 6:3, but when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what the right hand is doing. I know some of you are all out there saying that. Hey, you can't brag about this. I'm not bragging about me, y'all. I'm bragging about y'all. That's allowed. Paul's doing it. Boasting in each other to encourage each other to be faithful. It's not about your pride. It's about the love that you have already poured out. It's about letting the world know that you, Christians, are generous people. You know, Christians are some of the most generous people in the entire world. It's the truth. The church gives out more money than any other organization in the world. Matter of fact, most organizations, when you add up their charitable giving, does not equal, and I'm talking about every organization in the world, you start to add up what has been reported, it is nowhere near what the church gives to the world. Not even governments give as much as the church gives. Because Christians are generous. Because we have had generosity poured out upon us through grace. Exactly what Kent was talking about this morning. It's because we have this great salvation in our hearts. It's because we have this great good news in our hearts. It's because we have this promise for what is to come. You know, because we say, in the Bible says, store up treasures in heaven and not here on earth. And we take that to heart, that we're so willing to give away to his purpose and his kingdom. See, Paul is boasting about them in this scripture here, and it's okay to boast about others. It's okay to boast about their spiritual love for each other. Proverbs 27, verse 2, let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. Because when we encourage each other, when we give each other the high five, right? When we love on each other, Guess what happens? We want to continue to do it. It's called positive reinforcement. It's what they call it in the psychology world. Positive reinforcement. You teachers out there know how to use this stuff pretty good. You guys are pretty good at the positive reinforcements. And they should always come more than the negative stuff. Because we want to encourage people to continue in the path that they're going when it's good. There's a time to correct, but there's a time to encourage and keep them going. Because when we do that, then we become, and the people, when we lifting them up in this, they become enthusiastic givers. How many of us give with enthusiasm? Right? I want to see some of y'all back there when you put it in the box. I want some of y'all go, oh. Nobody's around, so you're not knowing what the left hand, what the right hand's doing, okay? Come in on a Tuesday. I want to see it, though. I want to see it. Oh, I want to see some enthusiastic giving, all right? How many of us do that? How many of us are like, woo, it's payday, time to give to Jesus? Hey, look, I've had a hard time coming to that, and I'll be honest with you, there's sometimes it's hardest to continue to do that. Because I'm going to tell you, the easiest one to give up, see, the water bill people, they call you on the telephone. When you don't pay. Okay? The car people, they threaten to take away your car when you don't pay. Jesus don't call you on the phone. But we feel it in the spirit, don't we? It seems to be the easier one to overdo. But when we're doing it with enthusiasm, when we're doing it with the love in our hearts, we're saying, man, this is such a great thing to give to. Don't we do it with enthusiasm? Because we know that God is doing a great thing. See, because giving is fun. No amens, huh? I was kind of holding out for one. Okay. Giving's fun. Amen. Thank you. If I said give $5 to your kids, you'd be like, woo, give $5 to my kids. Okay, I'll take it back. I've seen what these guys were doing on Friday. Chris was with me. Yeah, there was a little begrudging given to the kids on Friday. Here, take the money and get out of my face. But no parent has ever sat there on Christmas Day as their child opened a gift that was given to them and didn't go, yes, when they were like, yeah, it's the best gift I ever got. And you're like, yeah, got it. I'm high-fiving my wife because I know who buys the gifts. Good job. We're excited to give to our kids, aren't we? When we know we got them that one gift they were really wanting, that one gift they've been asking for all year, and we know it's under the tree, and it's under the tree in November, and you're like, ooh, I can't wait. You're like, you almost want them to open it up now. Because you want to give them that gift. You want to give with enthusiasm. See, it's the same thing for the church. It's the same thing for all of us. We should be giving with enthusiasm, not with reluctance. Why? Why do we do that? Because it's not about the money that goes in to the box. It's about the outpouring that goes out to the community, to each other, to those who need to know Jesus Christ, to build up those who are in Christ. That's why it's enthusiastic. Because we see God's work in it. Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25. There's one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there's one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. The generous man will prosper, and he who waters will himself be watered. You saw the pictures. The outpouring. And tell me that you haven't been poured into this year. If you haven't been poured into this year, please come see me during invitation because we will pour into you. But we have touched so many lives. We have touched so many places in people's hearts and spirits to grow them in Jesus Christ. We've got a lot of ministry work that is going on. And you know, we've overspent in some areas and it's been great to overspend. You know, that's what I love about a budget. It's more like a guideline than a hard and fast rule, right? I got some people going, but every place that we've overspent has been outpouring to people. And it's always been poured back into us. The one thing I've always noticed about God is that every time we seem to pour out, God pours back in. And we don't know it's coming. We're just giving out faithfully like we can. When we did VBS, I knew there was a budget, but I don't know how much we spent. I just knew what we needed to spend. And when somebody asked, we said yes. And you know what? Everything kept pouring back in. It's almost like you can't get rid of the money, because God keeps bringing it back in. That's the way it works. I ran a food pantry for the last 3 years when I was out in Sublette. And I'm going to tell you, I poured out all the money I could pour out. And at the end of the year, when I looked at that bank account, it was the same as when I started at the beginning of the year. Because I was scattering and God was generous to pour back in. And some of that money would come from crazy places. People would just walk in and go, well, you know, I just had extra money. Here's a couple $1,000 for the food pantry. And I said, great. And then we spend a couple thousand. And then somebody else would come in and goes, well, here's four. And I said, but I just spent two. You almost couldn't spend the money. Because God pours in as we pour out. And he's doing even more. As we're beginning to bring on our new associate pastor, associate minister. We're still looking for that person. We received a few resumes. We received one resume. One. Anybody need a job? We need an associate pastor. Go out and look at the job sites. They're out there. I'm encouraging. If you're watching this and you want to become a youth pastor / worship pastor, we're the place for you. All right? Put it in. But we did a lot of praying about this, a lot of talking about this. And the new associate we're bringing on is a full-time position. And we're stepping out in faith in that. And the budget team, we're going to talk about it. See, we did it already, and the budget team's going to be like, what did you do to us? That's okay, because God pours in. We're going to pour out on somebody, and God is going to pour in. Because in the end, we need to have some intentionality to what we're doing. We got to do things on purpose for God to pour into. We got to do things specifically and on purpose. It's not like we're just out here willy-nilly with things. We've done a lot of prayer. We've done a lot of searching. We've done a lot of doing. But we've become intentional about how we're going to pour out. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 3 and 4 says this, but I have sent the brethren in order that our boasting about you may not be made empty in this case, so that, as I was saying, you may be prepared. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to speak of you, will be put to shame by this confidence. See, he's saying that you guys have been faithful. You guys are ready to give. You guys are going to give. We're going to send some folks out there to ensure you're still ready. You're still prepared. You're still in a place. See, Paul is saying that even though you have been faithful, I'm going to send some people to remind you of your faithfulness. Of how your faithfulness is not a one and done thing. That the faithful things in life in Christ Jesus are of a repetitive nature. It's part of our relationship with him. You know, it's maybe it is like this in marriage for some people, but not for me. When we first come together and we start wooing your spouse, I know that's a word most people don't understand more. It means dating, means, you know, trying to get her to like you, right? And when you first get married, that first year, it's all good, right? The honeymoon, right? That first year, yeah. Marriage is good. But you can't just quit being married at that point. You're never supposed to stop wooing your spouse. It's not like we got into the relationship and said, woo, made it into marriage, safe. And quit. But that's sometimes how we treat our relationship with Jesus, isn't it? We say, woo, got baptized, I'm safe. Going to heaven. Love you, church people. See you at Christmas. True? Amen? Because we treat our relationship with God that way, because it's not our fault. Now, imagine if you had the same relationship you have with Jesus with your spouse. That's the question I ask myself. Do I treat my relationship with Jesus like I treat my relationship with my spouse? Hopefully it's better. Sorry, baby, you're number two. Jesus is always number one. But if I only met my wife on Christmas and Easter, we probably wouldn't stay married too long, would we? See, giving is something we have to be in the habit of doing. We have to give on purpose. That's what it means to be intentional about this. Have a plan for giving so that it becomes the desire of your heart and not begrudgment. That's what he's also saying here. As you are prepared to do this thing, are you still prepared? Are you still having your heart in the right place? Because we don't want you to give anything that you have not already planned to give. We don't want you giving anything that is not from your heart to give. But we want you to pray about this giving. We want you to pray about these spiritual disciplines that you do. See what the Lord puts on your heart. That's why I'm asking my budget team to pray before they show up to the meeting with the number. Because God will put it on your heart what you think we ought to give out. Because we as a church give just as you guys give. You guys pour and we pour out, and we pour in, we pour out. And that's how this works, because God works those things so that we will not be ashamed about our giving. You know, a lot of people don't prepare and they become ashamed. We become embarrassed before others. How many church congregations have closed their doors this year alone? What does that say to the community? That God no longer exists? Or does it just say my faith wasn't strong enough because I wasn't pouring in? Because I wasn't giving. And whether that's money, whether that's time, whether that's talents, it doesn't matter. But when a church closes its doors, it's usually because they stopped giving. They stopped having that relationship with Christ Jesus. They stopped pouring into their community and realizing the community needs and meeting those community needs. See, community needs change with time. What the community looks like changes with time. For some reason, for a long time, the church sat still. And obviously, we don't want to just change to be relevant to a community that's not loving Jesus. And we don't want to change because the way we preach the Word of God as if it's somehow changed. That's not what we want to do. And I'm going to tell you, it's not required of you to do. The Word of God remains the same, absolutely. It will never change, and I will never change what it says. I guarantee it. But we can change the way we reach people. We can change how we're engaged with people. But it's going to take me giving of myself to do so. Proverbs 28 verse 22 says this: a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that that want will come upon him. See, stinginess gets us nowhere. And that's what we get. We get stingy with our time. We get stingy with our resources. We get stingy with stuff. That's what the world does. That's what the world teaches. Hey, you earn that. That's yours. Yeah, you earned it. You went out and worked, but God gave that to you. God gave you that work to do. God poured out into you. Are you giving back? Those are the things we need to make sure we challenge our hearts with all the time. Those are the things we need to make sure we challenge our spirit with in our spiritual disciplines all the time. Because in the end, you want to give your leaders a reason to boast in you. That's exactly what Paul's doing. He's boasting in them. And he's saying, you know what? I'm going to send some people to make sure everything's in order. I'm going to make sure everything's lined out. So he puts leaders in place for this reason, to make sure everything's lined out, so that at the end, you will not be ashamed. But you'll be praiseworthy. Make your leadership's job a delight. That's what it tells Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders. Submit to them, for they will keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account, for which we will. Let them do this with joy and not with grief. For this would be unprofitable for you. We don't want egg on our face in the end. No, instead, we want to give our leadership a reason to boast in us, a boast in our congregation, as I'm boasting in you guys. But what I want to do is I want to be able to boast every year, and increasingly so as we move on with Christ. I want to be able to boast with you all. So I'm teaching you, number one, that you guys are doing a great job. What I'm telling you, number two, is to keep doing a great job. Because you guys are amazing. You're amazing in relationships, you're amazing in love, and you're amazing in your giving. And the best way you can keep amazing in what you do is budget. Budget your time. Budget your resources. Budget your giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5, to wrap this up. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange beforehand the previously promised bountiful gift so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. You're going to arrange it beforehand. You're going to make it the first thing that you do. I don't know how many people do a budget. I do a budget. I got a little Excel spreadsheet for my budget. It has little fancy colors and things on it. I like colors. Of course, I'm a computer nerd too, so mine does fancy auto calculations and auto coloring and everything else. It's pretty neat. And sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. Sometimes the brakes on your truck go out and your budget goes, ooh! You're supposed to have an ooh fund. I'm working on my ooh fund right now. I'm restarting my ooh fund. But it's been great because we have a budget. We have a budget to make sure that our giving is right up top, number one. So no matter what else gets paid or doesn't get paid, that's number one. That's got to go out because that one belongs to God. Because we prepared it in advance for Him. That's something the world's not allowed to touch. Budgets benefit us by preparing to give. I mean, you guys prepare to give your car payment every month, right? You prepare your groceries every month. Maybe you don't. I don't know. Maybe you're not a budgeter. Here lately, my grocery budget's expanded. I brought on an extra mouth. Holy mackerel. Let me tell you all budgets. Nate, cereal, 4 boxes gone already. I'm talking about some boys that love cereal. I'm going to tell you. 4 boxes of cereal in like 5 days. I can't even wrap my mind around that. I'm like 3 gallons of milk a week. I mean, it's crazy. But we got to budget those things, right? Lest we be ashamed. We've got to budget those things into our lives for God, and that includes our giving. And whether that's money or time or talent, you need to budget some of that for God. Budget some of that time and what you're going to give to. Budget some of those talents and that treasure for what you're going to get to so you're ready for the outpouring. Luke 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, for by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And that's what he's talking about. So when we give, don't do so begrudgingly because God will always pour it back in. And it may not be money that comes into your bank account, but it will definitely be a blessing back into your life. When we are faithful in giving, He is faithful to return. And not begrudgingly, because that's covetousness. I gave, but I don't want to give anymore. It reminds me of the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and I'm going to share just this little piece of it for you this morning. Acts 5, 1 through 5 says this, but a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. They wanted to give to God, they sold a piece of property. And they kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge. And bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. As he heard these words, Ananias fell down and breathed his last. And a great fear came over all who heard it. Because they had decided, but they took back. They gave with a covetousness in their heart. They gave begrudgingly. God doesn't want what you don't want to give. I want to put that out there again. I want you to hear that. God doesn't want what you don't want to give. He doesn't want it. He doesn't need your money. God has an unfathomable resource of money to come in and pour into what he needs poured into. He wants you to want to give. That's why we say budget. Prepare those things so in your heart you've prayed over it, and those things in your heart you know it's true, and those things, you, and when you do that, and when you're ready to give and you give that money, that's where that excited giving comes from. That's where that enthusiastic giving comes from, because you're like, ooh, yeah, here it comes, because I was ready for this. Booyah, there it is. Sometimes you got to set up that auto pay, right? So it just automatically comes out. I don't necessarily like that sometimes, because then you're not really thinking about it. But it sure is nice to have it, and then you're ready. But that means you budgeted. It means you prepared. You mean it's going to be one of those things you know is going to come out. But, I love giving. I give online. I'm an online giver. And I enthusiastically hit the send button. Pow! No, I'm just kidding. I don't really do that. I'm going to do it now, though, because I said it. Right? Bang, give. It's fun to give. It's fun to give because you know God has poured so much into you. Even if he'd given you no money at all, even if he'd given you nothing in your life, he gave you salvation and grace. And that would have been enough for me to give him everything. And I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like generosity, to be generous, to pour out into other people. And guys, I'm just, as you guys have poured out into me, it's kind of, sometimes it's a little bit, I don't always take praise well. It's, I don't know, I'm not saying that's false humility. Matter of fact, it's probably pride of some sort, saying that I'm not allowed to have praise because I'm too good for it or something. I don't know, there's probably something in the Bible to beat me up over this. But I don't always take praise well. But you guys have poured out so much on me and my family that we're just, I'm taken aback, I'm humbled. But I know it's from God. And you, every one of you have done it enthusiastically, and it's been great, and it's just been some, I can't say enough. But I want you to turn that same heart to the Lord and giving to the church. Because guys, God's got something pretty awesome he's set up and ready to do this next year. And I know you guys will be faithful because you have been faithful. And I know you guys will continue to do a great work in God. And I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart this morning. We got a few more sermons on this, and we're going to continue to show you the great things God has been able to do because you're faithful giving. But I'm here to tell you, I just want to say thank you this morning for being such faithful givers. And I will boast about you guys, and not only in your money, but in your time, in your talent, and in your love for my wife, myself, my kids, and for each other, and for this community. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, first and foremost, for this congregation. I will boast in them, even to you, Lord, that they are such powerful, loving givers. They pour out so much for you, Lord God, and I'm just so appreciative. And I know you know that already, but I'm calling it out, and I'm boasting in these folks here today, whether they're watching us online, whether they're in the building, Lord, whether those that do give couldn't be here this morning, I'm telling you, I just pour out on them my heart and my praise, Lord, to you. I ask for special blessings and measures to be on each one. For as they poured out, Lord, I ask that you would pour back into them, that you would give to them, and that you would just love on them in abundance. For that is what a father does. He loves to give to his children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we open this up for invitation, I'm opening it up for anybody who needs prayer upon their lives. I'm opening it up for anybody who needs that pouring in upon their hearts. I'm going to ask Brian to come up, and if you need prayer on you, he'll be up here for you. If you need to give